There's an old saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's the truth. A lot of times we want to give somebody advice or we want to take advice from somebody and we really don't listen to them because we know that they just don't care. They're just kind of spouting off whatever they want. And we're going to talk here the next few weeks about motivation for ministry. The reason for that is because Paul's apostleship and ministry was being questioned by the Corinthians. They questioned who he was. He was going through some really, really hard times. And their assumption, many of them, was if God really cared about him, he wouldn't let him go through this. If he was really an apostle, he could take care of these problems. If the Holy Spirit was really leading him, the Holy Spirit would not lead him into all these problems. And even though, the book of 2 Corinthians is really Paul's defense of his ministry. For us, it's really all about suffering and all about why. Why do bad things happen to good people? And I know those of us that are Christians, we could say, well, nobody's good. But okay, why do bad things happen to Christians? Why do we have to suffer? Why do we suffer what seems to be needlessly, that it doesn't make sense? Wednesday nights, the men are getting together, and we're going through a video series on the book of Job. And if you know anything about the life of Job, it's like a big question, why? Now, we kind of know the answer. There's a little bit of things going on in the supernatural world, but as far as Job was concerned, he couldn't figure out why in one day he lost all of his crops. He lost all of his livestock. He lost all of his children. And within a little while, he lost his health. He lost everything. And why? And so we're gonna look at these, and we're gonna look at these motivations for ministry. Why is Paul doing what he's doing? And at the very start of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 11 verses, he's going to hit head on the whole idea of suffering. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to let us know that suffering doesn't detract from his apostleship. Because he's an apostle, he's suffering. Because he's in the will of God, he's going through these hard times. So we're going to look at that. None of us, myself, we're not immune to problems. I can still remember one of the worst times in my life. I was 32 years old when my father died of cancer. Just trying to get a church started outside of Columbus, Ohio. One of my dad's last requests when he got cancer is, I hope I get to feel better so I can come up and we can go visit and I can hear you preach. My father never heard me preach as a pastor. As an associate pastor, he heard me a couple of times, but he never was able to come up there. And I had questions. I thought, God, here I am. I've kind of stepped out. I'm doing some things. I don't think I'm out of your will, but why did my dad get sick with cancer? Why couldn't they heal him? Why wouldn't you heal him? And why is he gone, and what is going on with all of this? So I don't know what you're dabbling with, what it is that's slowing your step and your walk with Christ, or maybe you're not even a believer right now, and that's one of the reasons why you've chosen not to step into Christianity, is because if God can't take care of his own, how do I even know that he's even real? So we're going to deal with that. So if you open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, appreciate Mitzi reading that for us. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to discover a little bit about comfort. The book letter of 2 Corinthians says more about comfort than any other book in the Bible. Paul talks about comfort more than any other book in the Bible. The first 11 verses say more about comfort than any other passage in the Bible. In its noun and verb form, comfort is used 10 times. That's a third of all the times that it's mentioned in the entire Bible, or entire New Testament, rather. So what we're going to discover is we're going to discover that 2 Corinthians is really a book about comfort. And the reason why Paul talks a lot about comfort is because Paul is going through a lot of suffering. He talks about suffering more than any other writer as well. And in 2 Corinthians, more than any other letter, and especially in this passage, he's going to talk about suffering and he's going to talk about comfort. And what I'm going to let you know is one of the motivations, one of the foundations of ministry and serving others and helping others is the fact that we are able to give caring comfort. So the first thing I want you to think about is this. Where do we get our comfort? Number one, if you're going through suffering right now, God comforts the suffering. Our comfort comes from God. Let's look here. I'm just going to open up with the first two verses, and then I'm going to get into verse 3 and 4 just a little bit. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a typical introduction. It's a little bit different from some others. If you go to 1 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and some of the other letters that Paul writes, it's very similar. So I don't want to deal with that near as much, but look in verse 3. He gets right into it. In some of the other letters, the introduction is extended. This is a very short one because he really wants to get into it. He says in verse 3, which really is the key verse, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Basically, he says, blessed is God, he is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in all our tribulation. A couple things about that. He is the God of all comfort. All real, true comfort comes from God. That's where the source is. God is the God of all comfort, and it goes in, and he comforts us in all our tribulation. No matter what we're going through, no matter the sorrow, no matter how big or how small, no matter the suffering, no matter the amount of pain, God can comfort us. The problem that I have, and it really is that I don't know what comfort is. We have this tendency when we think of somebody who's going to comfort us, is that somebody is going to take away our pain. Somebody's going to ease our pain. They're going to come and they're going to say, it's going to be all right. It's okay. It's not that bad. But the word comfort in English comes from the Latin word fortis, and it means to strengthen. If you think about a fort, that's where it comes from. It means to strengthen somebody. And comfort means to come along to strengthen somebody. The Greek word, which is how it is in the New Testament, comes from the root word paraclete. If you're familiar with some of your Bible studies, Jesus used the word paraclete when he talked about the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, you go to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he calls the Holy Spirit the comforter, capitalized. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Paraclete means to come alongside of somebody else. The whole idea of comfort is not to come by somebody and say, oh, it's going to be okay. Here, take a piece of candy, take a toy, do so, get your mind off of it. Don't think about your troubles. It is to come alongside of somebody to strengthen them, not to escape the pain, but to endure the pain. Not to ease the pain, but to walk with somebody through the pain, because there's a divine purpose in suffering and there's a divine purpose in the pain. And we're not trying to pull them away from it. We're just trying to strengthen them as they go through that. And Paul says that's what God does. He's defending himself and all the sufferings because he says, you know what? No matter what I went through, God came along, stood beside me, strengthened me, helped me get through it. He's the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in all our affliction. Now, in this passage, I want you to skip down to verse 8, because he's going to talk about the worst day of his life up to this point, or the worst season, I guess, of his life. He says, for We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. In other words, here's something we went through, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Scholars aren't for sure what he's talking about, if it's a specific event in the book of Acts, something that he went through while he was ministering in Asia, or if it's something else. But he basically says, we went through a time where we had no strength left. It was above what we could handle. And then he goes in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Again, not for sure if it was an official death sentence. In other words, was it a Roman or a Jew that sentenced him to death and then something else happened? They're not, or if he despaired of life, if Paul thought, this is it. I think Paul, at that time in his life, was going through depression. Everything was gone. He had no outlet. Everything was over. He just assumed he was going to die. He quit, and he was done. He's sharing this to the Corinthians. Maybe this was one of the accusations they made against him of what he was going through. And so because you're going through that, you're not an apostle. Why should we follow you if you're going through stuff like that? And he gets down to this one thing, and he says, this is what we went through. This is the depth of the suffering that we went through. And I love what he says. And this is why God is the God of all of our comfort, and he comforts us in whatever we're going through. Back to verse 9, I'll kind of carry it on through. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That's why I think Paul was giving up. Paul's strength was gone. He quit. He couldn't do anymore. He said, he's given the why. Why did we go through this? So that we wouldn't be able to trust in ourselves, but we could trust in God. Sometimes we make a mistake and we say, God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that? And in a way, I believe that, but I think that's a false statement. Because God gave Paul more than he could handle so that Paul could know he couldn't handle everything. Paul was beyond himself. This was more than Paul could handle, so that Paul would not handle it himself, but so that Paul would give it to God, and he would see God come through. And then he goes on, he says, in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. In other words, he says, I was going through this, and I was ready to die, and so I gave up, and you know what God did? God just flipped it on me. And the God who raises the dead, not past tense, but present tense, he goes in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. God did that. And here's what happens. We suffer through something. And we're going through it, and we're going through it, and finally we get to the place where we just say, I can't handle this anymore. And whatever it is, dies. And it dies, and then God can bring it back to life again. That's the steps. Suffering, death, resurrection. You cannot have new life until the old life dies. And what Paul says is, he says, and that's why Paul can glory in his sufferings. Because he says, if I suffer something, it means God has something in store. I'm not going through bad times without there being something going good. And so you know what? I am willing, and later he says, I brag in my afflictions. Because you know what? I know God's got something really, really good in store for me. So bring it on. If I go through struggles, it means God's got something really good. The God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who turned my life around, whatever I go through, he is going to flip it in my life. I just have to hang on. I need to get the comfort from God so I don't abandon the process. And that's the problem. That's what we have a tendency to do. We abandon the process that God is working on us. He's putting us through something, and we want to get out of it. And God says, no, no, not yet. Get into it so that you can go through the process, because I have something that you're going to learn about yourself. I have something that you're going to learn about other people. I have something that you're going to learn about God just through the process. So Paul goes through this. And then in verse 11, he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. They were praying for Paul, and the prayers helped fortify him. That was something that they were able to do to help him go through that. So here's the first principle. God comforts the suffering. If you are going through anything, he said, every tribulation, all afflictions, whatever it is you are going through, God will be there to sustain you. Hang on to him. Turn to him. Others may have abandoned you, and we're going to get to that just in a minute, but God wants to comfort you. And those of us that have gone through some situations like that, we can attest to the fact that God gets you through it. How many times have you heard the testimony, I'd have never made it through it without God? God helped me get through it. I was giving up. But you know what? God helped me get through it. Doesn't mean that God did everything we wanted. He's not the Santa Claus. But you know what? God strengthened me. And don't evaluate your faith by how it feels when you're struggling. Because when you're going through a tough time, your faith is weak. Have you ever seen weightlifters that lift a lot of weight? And they keep going and going and going. If you measured their strength after a hard workout, you know what? You would say, hey, I can lift more weight than they can. You know why? Because they were under pressure. But you give it a couple of days to build it back up again. You get a few hours till they get some good protein in, and they give those muscles a time to rejuvenate and to repair what the weightlifting has done to their muscles. And you're no match for them. So don't measure the strength of your faith by how you feel in the middle of the pressure. Just hang on. God is going to strengthen you. And here's one of the reasons why. And it's the second point I want to make. Suffering prepares believers to comfort others. That's one of the things. He goes on and he talks about the comfort that he has received. We'll go back to verse 4, he's talking about God, the God who comforts us in all our tribulation. Notice what it says in verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The God of all comfort comforts us in all our tribulations that we may be able. We don't have to take that. We might not do it. We might waste our trouble. We might waste our suffering and just go on. But he says, but God has done that so that we may be able to comfort others in all their tribulation. Here's something interesting. I don't have to understand exactly what somebody else is going through to understand the comfort that God gives. But God has brought me through something so I can see how God comforts, and God can use each of us to be able to comfort others. And again, let's just remind ourselves, we're not talking about just coming up to somebody and saying, oh, I feel so sorry. And that feels good. It's not sympathy. It's more than sympathy. It's coming alongside of people to strengthen them. I guess a good word that we could use is encourage. To encourage them to stay with it, to bear with it, to go through it. It's not to deny the pain and deny the suffering. It's not to get away from the pain and get away from the suffering, but it's to strengthen yourself to go through it. And he says, we do that. He says, verse 5, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. When you suffer in a strange way, you are experiencing some of the things that Jesus went through. You know, Jesus suffered. You know, Jesus didn't deserve it. Jesus went through some things. And here's a neat verse. Hebrews 2:18. Let me just read it to you. Because he, Jesus himself, suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. You know, Jesus suffered and was tempted so that he could help us when we're tempted. And so whenever you're going through a trial, he can help you so that you in turn can help somebody else, so that they in turn can help somebody else. We're going through this so that we can be able to strengthen other people as they go through it. In verse 6, it says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so you also shall be also of the consolation." You can encourage people. You know what? No matter what you're going through, God is going to get you through it. And Paul says, I can comfort you with the same comfort. I got to watch my dance moves here. But God can comfort you. Paul says, God's going to comfort you with the same thing he's brought me through. So how does Paul comfort people? Just a couple of ways. By his attitude. You know, sometimes people watch what you're going through, and that strengthens them to go through what they're going through. By our attitude, by his words, just saying something, and by praying. That's what we can do for others, to help others with the stuff that they're going through. So let me just ask you this question. Has your heart ever been broken? Has your life ever been broken? Has your home ever been broken? Then you got a ministry. Your life is a ministry. God uses broken people way more than he uses people who have their act together. I believe that God wants to use us through our pain, not through our strength. We can use our strength because God strengthens us through our weakness. But God uses us way more through our weakness and our pain and our ineffectiveness than he could ever use through our strength and our power and our will. So if there's people around you that are hurting, if there's people around you that have broken lives and broken families, you know what? God wants to use you to be able to help them as they're going through it. So that's why sometimes we go through different sufferings. What you experience in suffering and what your worst day of your life is different than my worst day of my life, because God wants us to minister to different kinds of people. The beauty is God comforts us all, but we can help everybody in a different way. And so that's the point. How do we minister effectively to people? Getting back to it, you know, what are the motivations? It is the fact that, you know what? God has broken me. God has taken me, and God has helped me, and God has comforted me. God got me through that. So now, you know what? God has given me the tools to be able to help somebody else. So in the words of Linda Zisk a few years ago, she used to say, don't waste your pain. If you've gone through a rough time that you would never, ever want to go through it, and you would never want anybody else to go through it, guess what? There's probably somebody going through it. And they're ready to give up. And they don't have the God of all comfort. But maybe they just need you to just come alongside of them. You don't have to have words, just to come alongside of them and help them. Now, real quick, let me just give a really quick counseling session, okay? Because I've been talking about, you know, pain and things we're going through. If you're going through something right now, and some of you I know you are, and some of you I don't. Some of you hide it very well. And I don't know the struggles you've had. I don't know the emotions that you're dealing with. But if you came and sat down and said, Pastor, can we talk for a few minutes? And we sat down and we talked, and you just unloaded. You just gave me everything that you had. This is what I would say to you. Maybe it would be a little bit different if I knew what you were going through. So this is what I would say to you. I would first of all let you know that you're stronger than what you think you are. As a matter of fact, God knows you're stronger than you think you are. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of my favorite verses. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God would never put anything in your life that he didn't think that you and him together could handle. So evidently, God thinks you could handle this with his help. We might say, well, yeah, anybody can handle anything with God's help. No, he thinks your trust in him right now, you're able to get through it. So I just say this. It may not have been that way a year ago, but right now, God knows this situation, you can handle it. Second thing I'd like to tell you is this. When you're suffering right now through something, and I know it's real easy to think of what you're going through right now, but begin to think about how God could possibly use this to help somebody else out. Because pain and suffering help us to be inward and think about what I'm going through and what I'm feeling. And it's very hard for us to think ahead or think out. But sometimes you got to think about that, okay? How would I be able to use this to help other people? Viktor Frankl, who was in the Holocaust, was in the concentration camps. That was the one thing he determined made people a success during the concentration camps, is he actually began to practice his lectures in psychology while he was in the concentration camp, because he wanted to take what he was going through and be able to teach others about it. In other words, he was looking ahead. So I would just encourage you to say, you know what? This is going to be a really good story one day. I'm really going to be help somebody else out. Somebody else is going to be going through this, and you know what? Because that is the purpose of it. There is a purpose. It's not just arbitrary. It's not just a roll of the dice about what's happening in your life. God on purpose puts things in your life, or God allows things in your life so that he can equip you to be able to help other people down the road. And so think about that ahead of time. Rather than fighting, surrender. Because some things are over your head. Some things you're not able to handle. Most of us can handle most of life on our own. We think we can. Let's just be honest. Please take it right, and don't just get a little quip in here like the media does and, you know, says this is what the pastor says. But do you know that you can survive a day without prayer? You can survive a day without reading the Bible. People do that all the time. We do that all the time. We can do most of our life without God, but every now and then God puts things in our life. We just go, oh. And so the best thing to do is just surrender. Say, God, I can't do it. I can't. It's over my head. I'm out. Don't check out, but give it. And say, God, here it is. Because that's the best thing to do. That puts your faith where it needs to be. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the solutions. You don't have to know what you're doing tomorrow or anything like that. All you got to do is say, God, I don't have a clue, but you know what you do, and so I'm giving it to you. I'll do what you tell me. I'll go in the direction you tell me, but it's all up to you now. So surrender it to God. And the last one is, rather than becoming bitter, be thankful. That's hard. A lot of times when you're going through a rough time, you just want to get angry at people. You want to get angry at God. You want to get angry at yourself, angry at somebody. You take it out on somebody that has nothing to do with it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten mad at the nurse or the doctor? They're not the one that made you sick, but, you know, I understand that. We're getting mad at people, but rather than getting so upset about what's going on, just stop and flip your attitude and say, is there something that I can be thankful for? For me, what I do a lot of times is I begin to think about it could be worse. You know? It could be worse. And sometimes if we look at it, it could be worse. So think about those attitudes and things that are going on in there. But I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. God is the God of all comfort. He will comfort you and be with you and strengthen you. And even if you don't feel him right there, he's there. Yea, you know what, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because thou art with me. He is the silent partner through everywhere you go. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, if for that alone, to have somebody that will be your standby person, that's a great thing. But please, turn to Jesus Christ. But God is the God of all comfort. And if you've gone through stuff, God wants to use you to be able to help other people in the stuff that they're going through. Let me read you a little story. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian. I'm going to have to read it because too many German words. Stood up against the Nazis in World War II. Theologian and a preacher. He was imprisoned by the Gestapo in 1943 and went into one of their concentration camps. He wrote a poem. It was called New Year, 1945. He sent it to his fiancée, in which he said this, and these were his words, and he was talking about God. Should it be ours to drain the cup of grieving, even to the dregs of pain? At thy command, we will not falter, thankfully receiving all that is given by thy loving hand. Beautiful poem. He sent it to his fiance 3 months later, and just a few days before the war was over, he was hung in the concentration camps. 18 years later, another bride-to-be was grieving over the death of her fiancé. And she found comfort in the poem, New Year, 1945. So she sent it to her fiancé's parents, Joseph Bailey and his wife Mary Lou. So she sent the poem. This author decided that he would put it in a book of poems. So he put it in a book of poems. And 12 years after this would be 30 years after Bonhoeffer died in World War II, Joe Bailey received a letter from a pastor in Massachusetts relating that he visited a terminally ill woman, gave her the book of poems, which the book was actually entitled Heaven, and that woman stayed up all night and read all the poems and received comfort and help, and when she was up in the morning, a few hours later, she died. The woman's name was Maria von Wiedemeyer Weller. She was Bonhoeffer's fiance from 30 years before. So it connected. As one person found comfort in a poem, another person found comfort in a poem, found comfort in a poem, found comfort in a poem. When my father died, I was 32 years old and didn't understand why, you know, my dad should die at that early of an age. I had a lot of people come by and give me advice and tell me some things, but there is one person that if you ask me whose visit meant the most at that time, it was somebody who said only just a few words, Judy's dad. I can't, you know, if you've ever had somebody close to you pass away, you know how you can remember some things, you can't remember some things, you don't know why you can remember and why you can't remember, you know, what does that have to do? The one thing I can remember is Judy's dad. We were there at the family, and my dad's casket was up in the front, and I was standing there, and he walked in the back room, and Judy starts crying, and so I go, oh. And so Judy's dad, if you've ever met him, he's passed away now, just a quiet man, never says a word. He just walked up to me and just looked me right in the eye, shook my hand. Said, I'm sorry. I mean, except I knew something. I knew that when he was 19 years old, his dad died. And I knew he knew how I felt. He didn't have to say any words. He didn't have to read scripture. He didn't have to give me any advice. He didn't even tell me it's going to be better. I just knew he survived the death of his dad at 19. And I just thought, you know what? If he can get through it, I can get through it. God has brought you through some stuff. And one of the ways of ministry is you can help other people in the stuff that they're going through. Open our ears, open our eyes, listen to the Holy Spirit, and help other people in what they're going through. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Taking a little bit more time than I should have, but I'll tell you what, we're all going through something, and everybody's going through something. God can comfort you in whatever you're going through. Even if you feel like nobody understands, God can help you. And whatever you've gone through, God wants to use that to help somebody else. There is somebody else that is in desperate need of the comfort of God through your life. So in a few minutes, we're just going to come, if you want to come down and spend a little bit of time in prayer and talking to God about what you've gone through. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I cannot encourage you enough that this time right now, just say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I've tried to do it my way, but my way has not led very well. I will give it all to you and surrender your life to him. Barb's going to play through a song, and you can just come if you want to and just talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the comfort that you give. You are the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulations. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you use us, that what you put us through sometimes, we can help other people. It strengthens us, and it strengthens others. Help us to be comforters. We pray, Father, that you would be able to bless especially those who don't know Jesus. May they receive him as their own personal Lord and Savior today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.